I believe we left off Genesis 42. And we went through, we made a comparison, or we saw the comparison between Jesus Christ and Joseph, and how they were both beloved of their fathers, hated of their brethren, how they brothers both conspired against them to kill them. We saw how we saw some other things. One thing that was brought up to me by Sherry and my wife both, which I didn't mention, but I will mention now, was that Joseph gave bread and saved the people of Egypt, his Israel, and other nations, and Jesus Christ gives the bread of life. So that was another comparison. So, and there's, you know, that we'll see some others too as we go along here. One other one, they both suffered. They were both innocent, and they both suffered so that they could bring deliverance to others. So that's another one. Because Joseph was an innocent, he got put in prison, even though he never did anything wrong. And Jesus Christ was wrongly convicted and accused. So, chapter 42, verse 1. Now when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said unto his sons, why do you look one upon another? He said, behold, I have heard that there is corn in Egypt. Get you down thither and buy us from thence, that we may live and not die. And Joseph's 10 brethren went down to buy corn in Egypt. Jacob had 10 sons. Joseph was gone because he got sold into slavery. And 10 brother went down, because it says in verse 4, but Benjamin, Joseph's brother, Jacob sent not with his brethren, because he said, lest peradventure mischief befall him. Remember, he was the youngest. He was the youngest brother. He had the same mother as Joseph. So he was beloved of Jacob also. So it says in verse 5, and the sons of Israel came to buy corn among those that came, for the famine was in their land of Canaan, in the land of Canaan. And Joseph was the governor over the land, and he it was that sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. And Joseph saw his brethren, and he knew them, but made himself strange unto them, and spake roughly unto them. And he said unto them, whence come ye? You know, he was dressed as an Egyptian. Remember when he came out of prison, they shaved him. The Egyptians were clean shaven. Sometimes they had that little goatee thing, but they were basically clean shaven, whereas the Hebrews had full beards and long hair. So he knew his brethren, and he spake to them roughly, meaning he spoke to them in Egyptian. And they said, from the land of Canaan to buy food. And Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew him not, or knew not him. And Joseph remembered the dreams which he dreamed of them, and said unto them, ye are spies to see the nakedness of the land ye are come. And they said unto him, nay, my lord, to buy food are thy servants come. So, you know, he goes through this whole routine with them. Verse 18, it says, and Joseph said unto them, the third day this do, and live, for I fear God. If ye be true men, let one of your brethren be bound in the house of your prison. Go ye and carry corn for the famine of your houses, but bring your youngest brother unto me, so shall your words be verified, and ye shall not die. And they did so. Verse 36. And Jacob, their father, said unto them, me have ye bereaved of my children. Joseph is not, and Simeon is not. Simeon is the one they left behind as, you know, like a deposit, a safety deposit, that they would come back to prove that they weren't spies. And let's see, where was it? Verse 36. And Simeon is not, and you will take Benjamin away. All these things are against me. And Reuben spake unto his father, saying, slay my two sons, if I bring not to thee, deliver him into my hand, and I will bring him to thee again. And he said, my son shall not go down with you, for his brother is dead, and he is left alone. If mischief befall him by the way in which ye go, then shall ye bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. Because to Jacob, Joseph was dead. He had been, to him, as far as he was concerned, dead for over, well, it says that he was 30 when he took power in Egypt. So that's 13 years, but it probably was more. So it was a long time, and as far as Jacob knew, Israel, he thought that Joseph was dead. To him, he was dead. So, so they go through this whole thing in chapter 43. They go back and forth, and yeah, we can read 43. And the famine was sore in the land, and it came to pass when they had eaten up the corn which they had brought out of Egypt, their father said unto them, go again, buy us a little food. So when they came back to Jacob, they didn't immediately go back to Egypt. They stayed for a while and ate the food that they had brought back. But when it was starting to run out, then their father said, go again, buy us a little food. And Judah spake unto him, saying, the man did solemnly protest unto us, saying, you shall not see my face, except your brother be with you. If thou wilt send our brother with us, we will go down and buy thee food. But if thou wilt not send him, we will not go down. For the man said unto us, ye shall not see my face, except your brother be with you. And Israel said, wherefore dealt ye so ill with me, as to tell the man whether ye had yet a brother? You know, why'd you tell him you had another brother? You know, they were just being honest. And they said, the man asked us straitly of our state and of our kindred, saying, is your father yet alive? Have ye another brother? And we told him according to the tenor of these words. Could we certainly know that he would say, bring your brother down? And Judah said unto Israel his father, send the lad with me, and we will arise and go, that we may live and not die, both we and thou, and also our little ones. I will be surety for him, if my hand shall not thou require him. If I bring him not unto thee and set him before thee, then let me bear the blame forever. For except we had lingered, surely now we had returned the second time. And their father Israel said unto them, if it must be so now, do this. Take the best fruits of the land of your vessels, and carry down the man a present, a little balm, and a little honey, spices, myrrh, nuts, and almonds. And take double money in your hand, the money that was brought again in the mouth of your sacks, carry it again in your hand, peradventure it was an oversight. Take also your brother and arise and go again. So remember, they came back with the wheat or the you know, whatever it was, the grain, and Joseph had the money put back in their sacks, and they were like, he's going to say we stole us. So Israel's saying, take it back to show your honesty and to show that you didn't mean to take it. Verse 14, and God Almighty give you mercy before the man, that he may send away your brother and Benjamin. If I be bereaved of thy my children, I am bereaved. And so they go down and they do this, and they go through all this stuff. And and he gives them food and drink. And let's go to chapter 44. And it says, and he commanded the steward of his house, saying, fill the men's sack with food as much as they can carry, and put every man's money in his sack's mouth, and put my cup, the silver cup, in the sack's mouth of the youngest, and his corn money. And he did according to the word that Joseph had spoken. As soon as the morning was light, the men were sent away, they and their asses. And when they were gone out of the city and not yet far off, Joseph said unto his steward, up, follow after these men, and when thou dost overtake them, say unto them, wherefore have ye rewarded evil for good? Is not this in it which my Lord drinketh, and whereby indeed he divineth? Ye have done evil in doing so. And he overtook them, and he spake unto them the same words. And they said unto him, wherefore saith my Lord these words? God forbid that thy servants should do according to this thing. Behold, the money which we found in our sacks' mouths we brought again unto thee out of the land of Canaan. How then should we steal out of thy Lord's house silver or gold? With whomsoever of thy servants it be found, both let him die, and we also will be my Lord's bondmen. And he said, now also let it be according unto your words. He with whom it is found shall be my servant, and ye shall be blameless. Then they speedily took down every man a sack to the ground, and opened every man a sack. And he searched and began at the eldest and left at the youngest. And the cup was found in Benjamin's cup. Then they rent their clothes, laded every man his ass, and returned to the city. And, you know, it goes on from there. Verse 18, it says, then Judah came near unto him, unto Joseph, and said, O Lord, let thy servant, I pray thee, speak a word in my Lord's ear. And let not thine anger burn against thy servant, for thou art even as Pharaoh. Wow. So Judah recognizes that Joseph was even like Pharaoh. I mean, he was that powerful. He was the guy. He was the one that was doing everything. You know, Pharaoh found a guy and he could just relax and enjoy himself. Let's go to verse 24. And it came to pass when he came up unto thy servant, my father, we told him the words of my Lord. And our father said, go again and buy us a little food. And we said, we cannot go down. If our youngest brother be with us, then we will go down. For we may not see the man's face except our youngest brother be with us. And thy servant, my father, said unto us, ye know that my wife bare me two sons. And the one went out from me, and I said, surely he is torn to pieces. And I saw him not since. And if you take this also from me, and mischief befall him, he shall bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. And now therefore, when I come to thy servant, my father, and the lad be not with us, seeing that his life is bound up in thy lad's life, it shall come to pass, when he seeth that the lad is not with us, that he will die. And thy servant shall bring down the gray hairs to thy servant, our father, with sorrow to the grave. For thy servant became surety for the lad unto my father, saying, if I bring him not unto thee, then I shall bear the blame to my father forever. Now therefore I pray thee, let thy servant abide instead of the lad, a bondman to my Lord, and let the lad go up with his brethren. For how shall I go up to my father, and the lad be not with me, lest peradventure I see evil that shall come on my father? So that's a pretty tough situation for these brothers, because they don't know that Joseph is who he is. Now we get to chapter 45. And Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, because every man to go out from me. Or he cried, cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. So he was so overcome He finally made himself known unto his children. He sent everybody else out, and just with his 11 brothers, and he wept so loudly that everybody heard him. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. I guess they would be, huh? They thought he was dead. It was like seeing a ghost. You know? It's like the apostles seeing the resurrected Christ, right? Said, I am your brother, Joseph, whom ye sold. Joseph said, come and see near me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Just letting them remember what they did. And therefore, be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. See that? God sent him before to preserve life. God sent Joseph so he could save Israel, preserve the Christ line. For these 2 years have famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. See, Joseph knew God revealed to him his purpose. He knew what his purpose was. It was to save his family. So all the stuff he went through didn't bother him because of the purpose, the great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. He said, you know, it wasn't really you that sold me into slavery, but it was God that sent me so I could save you. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh and the Lord of all his house and ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Haste ye and go up to my father and say unto him, thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not. And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children's children, and thy flocks and thy herds and all that thou hast. And there I will nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. Wow. I was looking at something, but maybe it comes up later. Yeah, we'll come back to it, I guess. Says, I will nourish thee. Verse 11, and there will I nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. And behold, your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin, that is my mouth that speaketh unto you. And ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt, and of all that ye have seen. And ye shall haste and bring down my father hither. And he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. You know, he had never met Benjamin. Benjamin had never known Joseph. Joseph was gone. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them. And after that, his brethren talked with him. And the fame thereof was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, Joseph's brethren are come, and it pleased Pharaoh well and his servants. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, say unto thy brethren, this do ye, lade your beasts and go and get you unto the land of Canaan, and take your father and your households, and come unto me, and I will give you the good of the land of Egypt, and ye shall eat the fat of the land. Now thou art commanded this, do ye. Take you wagons out of the land of Egypt for your little ones and for your wives, and bring your father and come. So, you know, there was only one person that was above Joseph, and that's Pharaoh. And he's the one that's telling Joseph, this is what I want you to do. I want you to bring everybody back. Take wagons and get everybody, get the wives and the kids and the cousins and the servants and bring them back. And also regard not your stuff, for the good of all the land of Egypt is yours. And the children of Israel did so. And Joseph gave them wagons according to the commandment of Pharaoh and gave them provision for the way. To all of them he gave each man changes of raiment, but to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of raiment. And to his father he sent after this manner, 10 asses laden with good things of Egypt, and 10 she-asses laden with corn and bread and meat for his father by the way. So he sent his brethren away, and they departed, and he said unto them, see that ye fall not out by the way. And they went up out of Egypt and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. Can you imagine how he felt? He thought his son was dead. He didn't believe it. And they told him all the words of Joseph which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived. And Israel said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. What a great record, huh? Now, you know, stuff goes on in between chapter 46, but chapter 46, verse 29, it says, and Joseph made ready his chariot and went up to meet Israel, his father, to Goshen, and presented himself unto him, and he fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while. And Israel said unto Joseph, now let me die, since I have seen thy face, because thou art yet alive. What a great thing, huh? What a great joy for Jacob in his old age. Now we go to chapter 47 and verse 23. Then Joseph said unto the people, behold, I have brought you this day and your land for Pharaoh. So, you know, eventually, you know, the people would come to Joseph and they would buy food. Well, eventually they ran out of money. So they come to Joseph, and Joseph says unto the people, behold, I have bought you this day and your land for Pharaoh. Lo, here is seed for you, and you shall sow the land, and it shall come to pass in the increase that ye shall give a fifth of the part unto Pharaoh, and 4 parts shall be your own, for seed of the field, and for your food, and for them of your households, and for the food of your little ones. So Pharaoh ended up owning all the land, and the people continued to farm it, but they had to pay 20% tax to Pharaoh. So they continued to enrich Pharaoh, and the power of Egypt continued to grow. And it shall come to pass, we'll see. And they said, thou hast saved our lives. Let us find grace in the sight of my Lord, and we will be Pharaoh's servants. These people were so thankful and so beholden to Joseph. And they said, okay, we'll be Pharaoh's servants. Now we're going to go to chapter 49. So, you know, Joseph settles in and he's got his twin brother boys and he presents them to Jacob, to Israel and all this stuff. In verse 1 of chapter 49, Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourselves together that I may tell you what shall befall you in the last days. Gather yourselves together and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father. So he's going to, you know, prophesy concerning their futures. He says, Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength. the excellency of dignity, and the excellency of power. Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel, because thou wentest up to thy father's bed, then defilest thou it. He went up to my couch. Whatever that had to do with. So that was Reuben. And we go down to verse 8, talking about Judah. Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Now remember, Judah was the guy that thought he was going in to be with a prostitute, and it was actually his daughter-in-law who disguised herself because she thought she should have been his kinsman redeemer. And so she tricked him into having a child with her. So that's Judah. And this is what Jacob or Israel prophesies of him. Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he couched as a lion, as an old lion who shall rouse him up. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall be the gathering of the people be. So that's pretty wild. Of course, has to do with the coming Messiah, the bloodline of David. Then it says in verse 11, binding his foal unto the vine, and his ass's colt unto the choice vine, he washed his garments in wine, and his clothes in the blood of grapes. His eyes shall be red with wine, and his teeth white as milk. And I'm sure they all mean something, but but we do know that Judah was prophesied that the Christ would come from his line. Now let's go to chapter 50. To finish up Joseph. And we're going to begin in verse 15. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said to Joseph, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly require us all the evil which he did unto him. You know, once Israel died, his brothers thought, well, he's going to get even now. Our father's dead. He was just taking care of us out of respect for our father, to bless him. But now he's dead, so he's going to get us. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin. For they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him, because he had already forgiven them, and they didn't believe him. He had enriched them. He had taken care of them. He had set them up. And now they're afraid that he's going to do harm to them. And so, kind of hurt his feelings. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face. And they said, behold, we be thy servants. Which, remember way back in the beginning when he was a kid, he had that dream, and they thought he was being a jerk. But here they are making obeisance to him. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for I am in the place of God. But as for you, ye thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people. He saw that God did this, and God had a purpose for his life, that he suffered these things and went through the things he did, because God's purpose was to save the people by Joseph, just as God sent Jesus Christ to save all mankind. Verse 20, but as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto you good to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people. If you hold your place here and go to Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 2, verse 22. It says, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God." Jesus Christ was delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. It was God's purpose. It was God's design that he should do this. "Ye have taken him by wicked hands, have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it." So, you know, again, God determined. God determined that Jesus Christ should suffer and that he would save mankind. God determined that Joseph had to go through the things he did so he could save Israel and preserve the Christ line. Joseph was a man of God. He was a type of Savior who foreshadowed that promised seed, the coming Messiah. Verse 21, "Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones." So here again, second time he said he will nourish. He nourished Israel when they came. Jesus Christ came to nourish. Let's go to John chapter 4. It's another thing that they had in common. John chapter 4 and verse 7. "And there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I give him shall be in him a well of springing up into everlasting life. And of course, the woman said, Give it to me. I need it. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 29, in the discussion of the mystery and the marriage, verse 28 says, "So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord, the church." The Lord there should be Christ, even as the Christ, the church. He nourishes the church in John 6. Go back to John 6. And verse 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he has sent." They said, "Wherefore unto him, what sign showest then that we may see and believe thee? What doest thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not the bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is which he cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto this world." You know, Jesus Christ is the bread of life. And they said unto him, "Lord, evermore give us this bread." And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. So Joseph nourished his brethren. Jesus Christ nourished and nourishes the church. Jesus Christ is the bread of life. Remember, Joseph gave bread and saved Egypt and others. Jesus Christ is the bread of life to all that believe. Unlike other men of God, one last comparison. Unlike other men of God in the Word of God, we don't see any mistakes or sins by Joseph. Emphasizing his innocence. So when he suffered and paid the price, when he saved Israel, he was an innocent that suffered so that he could save many. Jesus Christ was the innocent Passover lamb, and he paid the price in full for everybody who sins. Let's go to, so that's Joseph. What a great guy. He's just incredible in what he did. And so it says, now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. And Joseph dwelt in Egypt, and he and his father's house. And Joseph lived 110 years. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation. The children also of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were brought up under Joseph's knees. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from thence. So Joseph died, being 110 years old. And they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. So eventually they carry his bones out. But so that's Joseph. What a great guy, huh? Amazing how he was a type of Christ and foreshadowed so many things of the life of Christ in so many ways. Now we're going to begin the man of God, Moses. So first, let's look at the book of Hebrews, chapter 3. Chapter 3 of Hebrews. Almost don't want to go on, just thinking about Joseph. You know, the more I thought about him, the more details in his life paralleled Jesus Christ.
But how about forgiveness?
He forgave,
And Jesus Christ said, forgive them for they know what they're not to do.
Yeah, that's a good one. My wife just said he also forgave them, just like Jesus Christ forgave the ones that crucified him because they knew not what they did. So, again, that's another parallel between Joseph and Jesus Christ. I mean, the more you read it and the more you examine it, the more it just fits so perfectly in every way. So, Hebrews chapter 3 says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Now, remember, one of the things we talked about in the Old Testament, the men of God, they had to have spirit. God would speak to them. They would carry out God's directions, speak for God if he told them to, or write down his word. And also, they believed and looked forward to the coming Christ. That was a big thing. I doubt that there was a man of God that did not look forward to the coming Christ. There could never be a man of God in the Old Testament that did not look toward the man that was coming, the promised seed. So anyway, says, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. So here, Jesus Christ is being compared to Moses. It says, for this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he hath builded the house, hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that build all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house, as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. And then, of course, talks about Christ as the son over his own house. But Moses was faithful in all his house, in all of God's house, as a servant for a testimony of those things which are to be spoken of, you know, the coming Messiah, of what God promised in the future. So now we go back to Exodus chapter 1, Exodus chapter 1. And, you know, we're not going to touch on every detail of Moses' life. Obviously, that would take us a long, long time. But we'll get through maybe the first chapter here, and then we'll close up for the night. Maybe we won't get through the first chapter. Who knows? Now these are the names of the children of Israel which came into Egypt. Every man and his household came with Jacob: Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, Benjamin, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. And all the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls, and Joseph was in Egypt already. And Joseph died, and all his brethren, and all that generation. So they all died. All the old timers died. Now we get to verse 7. And the children of Israel were fruitful, and increased abundantly, and multiplied, and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. They were all over the place. Those Israelites were like rabbits. They just keep producing. But, you know, this is in part fulfilling God's promise to Abraham, where he said, you know, your seed is going to be like the sand of the sea, or the stars of the sky. And of course, that's a figure of speech. What it meant, it was there would be really like a great many of them. So they get to Egypt. They came down. There were 70 souls in the family at that point. Israel and his 7 sons, their wives, their wives, and then their children, and they increase and grow, and so the whole place was filled with them. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. Remember, the Pharaoh had loved Joseph. He had put him in charge, and the Egyptians, in that period of time and that dynasty, had great respect for Joseph. And actually, Pharaoh was the one that said, you know, Joseph, bring your family in and set them up in Goshen and give them the best land and the best everything and let them stay there. And so, but this new Pharaoh, this new dynasty of pharaohs, kings, didn't know Joseph. He had no respect for Joseph. He didn't care about Joseph. And he didn't care about the Israelites. And he said unto his people, behold, the people of children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us. So get them up out of the land. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities of Pithom and Ramses. So what did they do? Some way or another, they enslaved the Israelites. They probably intimidated them physically or whatever, and they caused them to be in subjection. So, but the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. So the more they gave them a hard time and the more they put on them, the more Israel grew in size and in numbers. And so the Egyptians, they just weren't happy about it. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. In other words, hard labor. They were making them serve with hard labor, you know, weren't giving them a break. There was no days off. There were no vacation days. There was no maternity leave or paternity leave or perks, no 401ks or pension plans or anything like that. They just worked. That's all they did. They treated them like animals. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage. In mortar and in brick and in all manner of service in the field, all their service, wherein they made them to serve, was with rigor. And the king of Egypt, which is also referred to as Pharaoh, spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of the one was Shiprah, and the name of the other was Puah. And he said, when ye do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. So what is this? This is an attempt to cut off the Christ line. This is an attempt to stop the growth of the Israeli people, Israelitic people. And so he tells these midwives, if they have a male son, kill him. But the midwives feared or respected God and did not, as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men, children alive. So this tells us that they believed, and a certain segment, at least of Israel, continued to look and believe in the true God, Jehovah. Now we know that they had other problems, and at times there were some certainly that worshiped the gods of Egypt, or weren't strong in their believing, but these two women were strong in their believing. So somebody was teaching God's word somehow. And the midwife said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women, and the king of Egypt called to the midwives and said unto them, why have ye done this thing and have saved the men children alive? I told you to kill them and you disobeyed. Now, Pharaoh is a king, right? And a king has, well, in that day and time at least, had total and complete authority and power. So no matter what, you know, it didn't matter. They couldn't appeal to the Supreme Court. I mean, if he decided to put them to death for disobeying, he could have. And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and they are delivered ere or before the midwives come in unto them. So these two girls, they say, look, Pharaoh, all's well and good, but these babies are already born and they're out in their mother's arms before we even get there. They're not like the Egyptian women that are sissies and have to be pampered. And these women, they have their baby and they move on. So, therefore, God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. It came to pass because the midwives feared God that he made them houses. I don't know how he made them houses, but somehow or another he got them houses. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born shall be cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. So now here's another. Remember the Jesus Christ, when he was born, what did Herod do? He wanted to kill the Christ So he ordered that all male children under 2 years old be killed. Well, here's a similar situation where he says, throw them in the river. You know what's in the river, the Nile? I'll tell you. I looked it up. They were feeding them to the crocodiles. Nile crocodiles. I looked them up. They can be anywhere between 11 and 16 and a half feet long and up to 1,600 pounds. That's pretty big. And they're voracious. They like to eat. And that would be a nice tender meal. So go into chapter 2 just quickly. And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. The woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. Okay, it says that she bare a son. go back to Hebrews 11, because it speaks about these parents. These are the parents of Moses. In chapter 11, verse 23, it says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. Now, Moses didn't believe. His parents believed. It's just, it's the way it's worded. But it says, by faith, Moses, it should be probably a comma after faith. And it says, Moses, when he was born, comma, was hid 3 months of his parents. By faith, he was hid by his parents 3 months. Because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandments. That's one of those things where you see that the usage of commas and periods and stuff can change the meaning of a verse or confuse the meaning of a verse. But it was the parents that believed. And if you go to Numbers 26, it tells us who the parents of Moses were. 26 and verse 58, it says, and these are the families of the Levites, the family of the Libnites, the family of the Hebronites, the family of the Malites, the family of the Mushites, the family of the Korathites. And Kohath begat Amram, in the name of Amram. Kohath begat Amram, and the name of Amram's wife was Jochebed, the daughter of Levi, whom her mother bare to Levi in Egypt. And she bare unto Amram Aaron, Moses, and Miriam, their sister. So that's the parents of Moses, and she bare 3 children. She bare Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. And we have to believe that probably, well, we're going to read on, and it says his sister watched over him, but Aaron was probably older and probably was not killed because he was already older and probably serving in some way or capacity, working. But then later on, there's another generation of Israel. So Pharaoh, probably somebody said, you know, if we keep killing the male children, we're not going to have any slaves left. And so then he probably rescinded that order. But at this particular time, he was looking to kill all these children. But this woman, Jochebed, conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. So we're going to stop there, and we'll pick it up the next time and really look more into Moses, the man of God. So, but I sure enjoyed studying Joseph, and I am sure we're going to enjoy studying Moses just as much, because Jesus Christ is compared to Moses for his faithfulness. And Moses said, that God will send a prophet like unto me, and that would be the promised seed. So God bless you all. Have a great night. Stay dry and warm and comfy. Father God, we thank you for this night, for loving us, for keeping us safe and healthy. And we thank you for what a great and loving God you are. We thank you for just doing your best for us in every way. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.